word be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. Thinking a lot about our today, even just how an incredible thing that we are in union with Christ. We have the mind of Christ, right? We learn to how to hear his thoughts. I was telling someone earlier, the difficult thing is that the enemy's voice, my voice, and God's voice just all sounds alike. And so we have to learn how to sift through and learn to hear his voice. It's just it's a lifetime journey. It's going to be an eternal journey, right? We'll be able to, but when we're with him, just to experience more of his beauty, who he is, hearing his voice. And I can say now I hear his voice better than I used to, right? But I still have a long way to go. And I find myself entertaining my thoughts or entertaining the enemy's thoughts a lot, and I'm way down the road with them before I catch it, right? And usually spiraling down and my emotions freaking out. But I was thinking about this scripture, a couple of scripture in Hebrews I use a lot. Use it for myself mainly, just almost on a daily basis. It really gives me a lot of encouragement. And we know that when Jesus was baptized, he said he was led by the Spirit. The next thing that happened, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, right? Very first thing he did is he went into the wilderness. And we know that Satan came to him three different times, you know. But Scripture also says that for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was under constant assault. He battled the enemy for 40 days and 40 nights, right? The enemy threw everything in his arsenal at Jesus, and Jesus defeated everyone, everything, okay? As man, filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't go into the wilderness as God. He went into the wilderness as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he learned, you know, Scripture says that he learned how to do battle by trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit within him, okay? He let the Lord do the battle for him. Really truth. And this is just fresh on my mind. I was sharing with some person recently, and one of the turning points of my life, like a light went on. You know, most of my stuff the Lord shared with me that really changed my life is just very simple, not complicated, right? Where a light bulb just kind of went off, you know, and I used to run a route with FedEx, and I was always out, and I had a country route, so I was always out, a lot of time to think, you know, and I would just be barraged some days with thoughts, just crazy thoughts, just coming from every direction, and I would always say, you know, Lord, forgive me for that thought, you know, and he spoke to me one day and said, Craig, you don't need forgiveness, you've got that, duh, you know, what you need is help. You need help. I'm going to teach you how to handle thoughts, because the big deception of the enemy is to make his thoughts seem like my thoughts, right? He hides in darkness. He shoots from concealment. Psalm 64 is a really great psalm about how he does warfare. He tries to stay hidden, right? The bigger they are, the more hidden they try to stay. They don't like to be exposed, right? They are there to deceive you. They're hiding. They're trying to make you think something is wrong with you, and they wear you down. So he gave me this picture, and that was a like a boxing ring. And he said, if the enemy can pull you into that boxing ring, he'll defeat you every time. But if you learn how to let me step in there on your behalf and fight, I'll beat him every time, right? And that's part of what's called, the scripture's called walking, learning to walk in the Spirit. It means to walk by the power of the Spirit. How to let him take thoughts captive. Scripture says to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ is what he did on the cross. That's, we take it to the finished work of the cross. Okay? That's how we defeat him. And the longer we walk with the Lord, you know, especially I was thinking of the Sermon on the Mount. This great, you know, probably the best teaching in Scripture, the character of God, who he is, you know. We can really tell, you've heard me talk about that last time, the spirit of something behind it. It can't contradict Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? If it is, it's probably not from God. But in the book of Hebrews, there's two scriptures that I use a lot that changed my life. I use them a lot in ministry. One is in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, "For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he, Jesus, gives help to the descendants of Abraham, which all of us are," right? "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he would become this merciful and faithful high priest to us in things pertaining to God, since he made propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the people. For since Jesus himself was tempted in that which he suffered for sin, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Okay? Chapter 4, this gives it even more insight. "Therefore, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without giving into it." He said, "Yep, but he never sinned. He was tempted in all things as we are." Isn't that incredible? Not a thing that we are tempted with or a thing we go through or struggle or weakness that Jesus himself did not allow himself to be confronted with, tempted with, attacked with, so that he could come to your aid. Okay? "Therefore," it says, "let us draw near to him with total confidence, to his throne of grace, that we may receive his mercy and find his grace to help in our time of need." And y'all know that without getting into it. Grace is the activity and ability of God within us, right? That Jesus is merciful and faithful. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, okay? He's not disappointed. He's not cheering us on from the sideline. He comes to our aid to fight it through us, right? And so we just have to learn, it's practiced, one, to recognize, to take the thoughts captive. What I do is when they come to me, I'll say, "Jesus, I just give this to you. Thank you for your victory over it." And I know it's not me, right? You can't do anything about, I say this a lot, you can't do anything about the birds that fly over your head. You can't do anything about that. But you can do something about whether they light on you or not. That's what walking in the Spirit is all about. Letting Jesus defeat the enemy. Let him fight your battle in every day, every situation, every negative thought, right? Everything, as Second Corinthians chapter 10 says, everything lifted against the knowledge of God and who he is, let him fight it for you and on your behalf. He will always come to your aid. He will always come to your rescue, right? And he will always overcome it. The whole thing about, 1 Corinthians 10 talks about that, there's no temptation that's overcome us. That's not common to man. But God, who is faithful to you, will always give you the way of escape so that you can endure it. And the way of escape is simple. Let him do it. Let him fight it. Right? I'm telling you, it will go. He will get tired of, Jesus whipping his tail. Every time, he'll stop, okay? But with you, he'll just wear you down. So teach us how, even more. I pray that every day, Lord, teach us how to take thoughts captive. Teach us how, teach me how to recognize them quickly, what's from you and what's not from you. Teach me that my thoughts, which seem like just my thoughts and things I'm thinking, and, because we're going to gravitate toward the fall. We're going to gravitate toward fear and worry and anxiety and stress, right? Catch it. Catch the fox's forces, Song of Solomon said. That's the prayer to Jesus. Jesus, you catch the foxes for us. He doesn't say in the language there, it doesn't say that you catch them. He'll catch them. Jesus, catch the foxes so they're not ruining my vineyard. Amen. And that is such a practical, every day, every moment, come Lord Jesus. The language I use more than anything is the very last verse, Song of Solomon chapter 8 says, Hurry, my beloved, right? Means come to me quickly. And so when I'm attacked, that's the first thing I say is, hurry, my beloved. That's my language of me and him. He knows what I'm asking him to do. Take this. Hurry, my beloved. You know, and he does every single time. He's never failed in that. Because his throne is a throne of grace, his ability. And I can be confident, really, no matter what I've been entertaining, I can be confident in his presence always. You know, this is the reason we have, you ever wonder why we have the altar here instead of the pulpit, is because this represents the altar of heaven, that the veil has been torn. There's no veil between you and God anymore, that everyone has access to the throne of God, and that man's not in the center, Jesus is the center, right? Man is off to the side. Okay, we don't need to exalt that. So it's just a representation of why this is, that all are welcome, and you come to him just as he is, just as you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've failed. You don't have to clean yourself up. He's already done all that. You have total access to him. The Lord has never denied access to him, because I'm in Christ, no matter what I've thought or what I've done. Really, after I blow it real bad, it seems that access is so much better. Quicker, because he's usually right there with me. Amen.